the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers the Arizona Cardinals. And with me, as back off of a little bit of a break, it wasn't his fault. It was because I was doing the preview show. Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com has returned, as we are at the point where we get to talk about training camp. Seth, welcome back. It's good to have you. It's been a bit. How's life been in the off season as camp has officially begun?
Yeah, it's exciting, man. I mean, I think we're excited to see what this team is going to be this year, how they're going to look. And we've seen this off season has been really a lot of growing in terms of the personnel and the players and you know, maturing and kind of stepping into roles that, you know, you and I have thought that they could do, but it's up to them to take that upon themselves. And I think it just makes for an overall exciting season. And I think the funniest part of it is that both you and I look at this as like, oh, this is going to be exciting. And we're still like, that means like fringe playoff team. We're not like, oh, this team is going to compete for a Super Bowl. Like this is like, oh, they're going to be good enough to like in December play games that matter. Not like, well, man, I hope Matt Prater misses this kick so they can draft Marvin Harrison Jr.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, you know, it is crazy. It is crazy that there is this dark horse MVP talk for Kyler Murray. And the fact of the matter is that the Cardinals, unless Kyler Murray is truly special this year and the defense isn't terrible, Howard Balzer, from my side, you know, when that started coming out, he put together some numbers, and literally the average number of wins for an MVP winner over the last 20 years is 13. 13 wins. The Cardinals are not winning 13 games. And that's just the average. And so, but it's almost all, and it's almost always a division winner, and it's almost always like at least 11 wins. There's like one time not too long ago where it was a wild card team. But yeah, like for all the talk about Kyler Murray as an MVP candidate, while it is a good value and we have seen him play at that level, but it's still exciting because, you know, even the national media is starting to kind of get a feeling. Like, I get the feeling that this team's going to play a lot of 38, 35 games. I'm like, okay. Like, if this is the Detroit Lions team 2 years ago, wouldn't you say we could definitely live with that?
Yeah, and I think everybody would be at a spot where they would be like, oh, this is the right track.
Oh, for sure.
They are trending in the right direction. And all of that matters, man. I mean, we've talked about this before. This group, you know, they came in. They were excited about Kyler. They were excited about the potential of this franchise. And kind of having that blank slate. And, you know, they knew that year one was going to be lean. They knew that they had to eat some of that crap sandwich that was left over, because they were willing to make tough decisions and not spend, you know, exorbitant amount of money in order to understand that, like, hey, year two and then especially year three, like, we're in the catbird seat. Like, we should be trending in the positive direction, like you said, mimicking that Detroit Lions kind of growth. And that is how we have to look at it. And I think coming in with a plan was something that we just, you know, obviously we hadn't seen. And that goes back to BA. I mean, you look at even BA's plan, and it was very effective for, you know, three seasons, but there was no plan in place. And you know, it's really easy after the fact to be like, well, we were going to draft Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, well, okay. Well, so hindsight, that seems like that was a great plan to move on from Carson Palmer to Patrick Mahomes, but at the same time, it was like you guys weren't prepared. You had no, you'd already crapped the bed a number of times on missed opportunities and picks and things of that nature. And it's like, this is the first time it feels like that there's a short-term vision that includes a lot of long-term planning. And quite frankly, that, you know, now we'll have to see it plays out. And the reality is, you know, I'll never take anything away from Arians and Keim for those three seasons, you know, or but the reality was, is that was kind of what they built that for, right? A quick 3-year run with nothing in the future ready to go.
The fact that with Palmer, they just never were able to get someone ready after Palmer.
And the reality is that's most of the NFL, right? Like,
right.
Unless you find that
Green Bay Packers, come right. on. 30 right. years of just good quarterback
play. Yeah. and so that's the reality of it, right? It's like you just hope you don't find your Carson Palmer at, you know, 35, like the Cardinals did. You hope you find him at 25. So you get that, you know, 10-13 year run where, you know, again, no Super Bowls. We understand that, but at least you're competing, right? Every single season. Yeah. You're in this, and that's all fans ask for, right? And I think that's what the vision is. You know, you've got 8 to 10 years of Kyler Murray left, ideally, you know, and you've got guys that you're creating the building blocks and the fundamentals, and you're doing all of that stuff. Now, you know, again, all of that's nice, all of the stuff on paper, all of the things that you've seen on, you know, you and I talk about on our websites, those are all great things. Now it's a matter of Sunday. And so that's or Sundays and the results. And I think that's what we're so excited about is like, okay, training camp is literally the first step in that process of getting to, let's see if they're worth their talk, because, you know, we were fine. I won't say happy. We were fine with the results in year one.
Yeah.
After that, now it's like, okay, now these need to go into wins so we can start to become excited about the future.
Totally. And we're now in episode 564 after I did 14 shows in 14 days. It wasn't one a day. I actually did like 5 shows one day, 3 shows another day. But after releasing 14 shows in 14 days about the Cardinals' opponents in those preview shows, we're now back on a somewhat regular schedule. And this is our training camp preview. It's our 2024 Arizona Cardinals training camp preview. And let's start off is that we're recording on a Tuesday night. Tuesday was report date. So the Cardinals are in the building. They had their medical exams. They made one roster move, releasing offensive lineman Carter O'Donnell with an injury designation. I don't know what injury it was, but I figured that he was hurt. He was not on the field during the last couple of weeks of OTAs, and he also was not on the field during mandatory minicamp, and a guy like that is not going to just, you know,
give up cash.
Right. Yeah. but he wasn't holding out. He had no leverage anyway. So,
and we know that that's not what happened. But let's be honest, after the news on Randy Gregory today, we really have no idea what these guys are thinking or what their agents are saying to them at this point. Because for those that don't follow NFL news and are just Cardinals fans, Randy Gregory signed a contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And this offseason, 2024. And has held out and not shown up to anything at all for the 2024 offseason, and now is obviously not at training camp. And you're like, what? You just signed this contract. Like, what?
You wanted more money. Why did you hold out for more money without signing?
Why would you? Like, what is happening? So that's, that's this. So, yeah, like you said, Carter O'Donnell didn't do that, but. You know, at the same time, if he wasn't injured, we'd be like, what? Like,
So I expected, I thought maybe he might get put on PUP because he was there for off-season workouts, and it turns out he didn't. So they're just.
And I think it was Craig Moran or somebody made the joke today, and not at Carter O'Donnell's expense or anything like that, but basically saying, like, well, now that left guard position's down to 8 candidates. So, yeah.
Right. Because remember, the Cardinals started 4 different guys at left guard last year. All 4 of them were re-signed. And then they signed Evan Brown. And then they drafted Isaiah Adams. And never mind, John Gaines is coming back from injury. So, yeah, not literally. So we've whittled that option down by 1. But no other roster moves, because they'll have their first practice on Wednesday. It is not an open practice to fans, but it is for media. So they will have practice, whether that's just the conditioning test or whatnot, on Wednesday. And so it is possible that you see guys being put on PUP or things like that, that there's an injury. But the fact that nobody was put on today suggests that they have a healthy roster. And what we've got coming up over the next 3 weeks, actually just the next 2 weeks, are a total of 9 open practices, or practices that are open to the public. And then 1 that's open only to season ticket holders. And the schedule, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of this. And of course, what you need to do if you want to attend training camp, you do need to reserve a free digital ticket from azcardinals.com/cardscamp or through the Cardinals app to do that. You can't just show up like we used to play pre-COVID or even back in the days in Flagstaff. You just show up and on campus there at NAU and maybe run across and walk by a Cardinals player. But the open practices begin on Thursday. So Thursday at 1:15 p.m., Friday at 1:15 p.m., Saturday there is no practice at all. On Sunday they will have their season ticket holder event, the Back Together Weekend Initiative. That is not for the general public. Then they'll be back at it Monday and Tuesday at 1:15 p.m., Thursday at 1:45 p.m., Friday at 1:45 p.m. Saturday, August 3rd, will be the red and white practice at 1:15, from 1:15 to 3:15. It is the longest practice that we'll see. And then, not on Sunday or Monday, they'll have the final 2 open practices of training camp on Tuesday, August 6th, and Wednesday, August 7th, and that will lead us into the preseason. And that wraps that up. All of those practices are at State Farm Stadium, free parking. Just get that digital ticket. After that, the Cardinals will play the Saints at home on that Saturday, and then they will travel to Indianapolis, and then they will have joint practices with Indy that next week. And when they come back from Indianapolis, I'm sure they will. I think they will end up, I don't know if they'll still be at State Farm Stadium or if they will break camp and actually go back to Tempe headquarters. And so that's kind of what the schedule is coming up. That's not what we want to talk about. You can find that stuff on both of our websites. You can find that on azcardinals.com. What we want to talk about right now is, what are we most excited about? And Seth brought a little bit up of that already. But what are you most excited about to see in training camp? And I'll start by saying, my goodness, I want to see Marvin Harrison. I want to see Kyler Murray throwing the ball to Marvin Harrison. I will personally be at 2 of the practices, so I can't wait to see Kyler throwing to Marv, and even if it's just in practice.
Yeah, it should be fun, man. I mean, we joked about it, but it was a lot to see, him get to the 4th pick. It was a lot. A long offseason of hullabaloo about his process from the media about, was Marvin Harrison this or that or the other thing. And the reality is that now we just get to see it on the field. And you know, it is his teammates, and we'll see what really happens. But the fact that everything coming out about this, young man is just – the highest praise about, his professionalism, his work ethic. He's already a pro, he gets it. Those type of things, like, it's really not surprising, right? Like,
no, it's not. It's interesting because, you know, if you've watched the new Hard Knocks off season, which is just the bigger production that they're focusing on the New York Giants, it's basically what every NFL team does on their own. The Cardinals do that with Flight Plan. But because you got a look at the pre-draft stuff, and you got to see a little bit of Marvin Harrison, you got to see a little bit of Malik Nabers, you got to see a little bit of Roma Dunze, I'm like, the Harrison is really kind of a perfect prospect in every way because of not only the talent, the preparation, the work ethic, the person that's raving about this young man by coaches and teammates. And then on top of that, just the, there's not a, there's like his dad, the Hall of Famer, he would get in your face. He would say crap. Marvin Jr. is not a diva at all. There's the part on Hard Knocks that talks about how Malik Nabers, like if he's not involved early in a game, he said that's tough for him. And he was honest with the Giants. Like that's hard for him to not be involved early in a game. And not that that's going to happen with Marv, but just the fact of the matter, like he knows he can get numbers. He just doesn't worry about them. He wants wins. It's like Kyler. Kyler doesn't worry about his stats. Like he could put up eye-popping video game stats. And what that's honestly, people would like him more if he did that. But really what he wants to do is win. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how it is.
Yeah, and that'll be what's interesting to see because, you know, a great wide receiver guy that, you know, Arizona Cardinals fans back in the Isaiah Simmons draft were clamoring for CeeDee Lamb, who's been nothing short of spectacular since he was drafted for the Dallas Cowboys, is now sitting out the start of training camp as he waits to get paid. You know, and so it's one of those things that Justin and I talk about, and the question becomes, and we're seeing it in San Francisco, although Brandon Ayuk did show up to camp, so a little surprising on that, right? That the wide receiver position, there's so much talent coming out now that it's diluting things to the point where, you know, guys that are truly game breakers like you know, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, those guys, those are the guys that get paid, right? And then the guys like Brandon Ayuk and maybe even CeeDee Lamb, you know, they look at it and they go, is this replicable with the young guys? And so this is nice because we know for 3 years, we don't have to worry about this.
Right.
Now, in year four, in 2028, this could be a problem, but
if there's one thing to know about Marv, it's not because of him, but it's how he's handling his business. Year four will be a problem,
right?
It will. It's going to come up. I am almost certain of it. Just the way there's the off the thing with the Fanatics with the licensing deals. I'm like, come year four, we're gonna maybe not year four, but definitely year five.
Well,
there's going to be a problem.
Hopefully the Cardinals are just smart enough and he produces well enough that you just go, yeah, I'm not worried about this. Like, yeah. here's your 5-year, 150 or whatever it is, $200 million. Who knows at that point, right?
Had that 18th NFL game, that 18th regular season game and new TV deals, it's going to be astronomical for reals.
But what else? Yeah, so it's exciting to see that. I mean, And then from there, I think you have to be excited about what they've done to add to the secondary. Now, I'm not going to say that it's going to be good, but you have, you know, a guy last year in Garrett Williams who
showed promise.
Yeah,
he showed promise.
Looked like a guy that can be a very, very good NFL cornerback. Obviously, you signed Sean Murphy Bunting, who's been all over the internet for, you know, his chivalry and heroic behavior with I don't even know who this woman is, but apparently a famous podcaster.
I didn't know the name, but I recognized her from some TikTok. She does some funny interviews, but I didn't know her name.
And so, you know, you got him, and hopefully he regains his form a little bit after a downish year last year. And then, of course, you've got Max Melton and Elijah Jones, a second and third round pick in this year's draft. Like, you know it's not going to be lockdown. Like, we're not going to be, oh, this is the Legion of Boom 2.0, right? Like, we know that's not the case. But could they be good enough to, like you said, win games, and then Kyler's in that dark horse, you know, MVP race, and the reality is that they're going to need these guys to be good, because Kyler might end up being more in the offensive player of the year race if these guys are bad and he plays a full season and they end up being an 8 or 9 win team, right? Because
yeah, that's a valid point. That's a valid point.
So I'm excited to see these guys, because I you know, coming through the process, I was a huge Max Melton fan. He just checks all of those boxes that you have, you know, when you're scouting, so to speak. I love what he brings. I love his style of play, you know, and so I'm just excited to see how that plays out, because it is just such a need position, and they have invested heavily. Now,
they
haven't drafted a first round guy still. That might still be coming in the next year or two, but to see the difference in them going, you know, just kind of full bore into trying to find a true cornerback or two or three, as opposed to what we saw with the previous regime, is just refreshing as a fan. And, you know, quite frankly, as a football guy who's like, what on earth was this last regime doing? Like, why was the cornerback position not ever a priority? You had one of the best in the game for a decade, and you were just like, we'll just throw stuff next to him every season, and hopefully it's good for one full season.
I will say this. Another thing I'm excited about training camp is something that this is just the nerd part of me, is I am fascinated at how the rotations look in camp, the who's lining up where, what team are they on. And I know that can change, but the way that they practice is the way that they rotate them in practice is a good predictor of how they are viewed by the team, by the coaches. And so I love paying attention to the defensive rotations, who is with the first unit. That's sometimes tricky when players have off and there's injury. That's always tricky. But say you've got a healthy roster, who's running the first team, who's playing nose tackle, what are the roles that they play? I get excited about that for the nitty-gritty, because that helps inform me as I try to predict final rosters and things like that every week. I get really excited about that. And I will say that the least exciting thing about training camp is actually watching the practices, because it's impossible to know whether either the offense or defense is good or bad.
Right. Well, and especially when you don't know if either is good or bad to begin with, right? So we have this idea, obviously. You and I have written extensively about it over the offseason, you know, kind of that offseason fodder / hype stuff. But the reality is, you know, this was one of the best running games in the NFL once Kyler Murray came back. It actually the second best in EPA per play rushing. Kyler Murray, James Conner, the addition of Michael Carter, the continued growth of Amari DiMercato. This was a phenomenal rushing attack with Kyler Murray. But they were also a top 10 offense per EPA with Kyler Murray under center, which, you know, let's be honest, he wasn't working with the most.
No. Well, and even his play, if you look at the DVOA, Kyler was as you're going to find, I have an interview that's going to go on the podcast later this week with the creator of DVOA, Aaron Schatz. You know what Kyler's play was last year? Exactly zero. Perfectly average.
Yeah, and so we'll see how that all, you know, plays out. But there's no questioning that the offense was, you know, much, much better when Kyler was back, and the stats back it up. And this became a team that, you know, moved the ball, put points on the board and things of that nature. But again, we don't know if they're good because now you're talking about doing it for more than 8 games, right? Like, this has to be something that's done for 17 games plus hopefully the playoffs. And then from there you can say, you know, oh, this is a good offense. Let's see how the this, you know, improving defense holds up. But like you said, if the defense is shutting down the offense, the conversation's not going to be, oh, good, the defense is going to be good enough. It's going to be, oh, crap, this team sucks. And until you know, we get out there and then it's like, oh, actually, both were good. We just had no idea. So, yeah, it's going to be – it's definitely going to be interesting.
It's the ever case, like, remember Brandon Williams in training camp against Michael Floyd and how good Brandon Williams looked at cornerback in camp.
Yeah, how good Brandon Williams looked, and then he was awful, and then Michael Floyd was out of the NFL, and you're like, holy crap. We were all so wrong.
Like, and it was like they kind of knew because, you know, that 1 week, and then they go out and get Marcus Cooper, a quarterback none of us had early, and within a half, he was in the lineup. First week with the team, second half of that game, they're like, all right, Marcus, you're playing. And then he had a pretty decent year. All right, coming up next to Rise Up here at Podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Let's look at the other side of things. What are our questions? What are our concerns for the team under camp? That's coming up next on Rise Up here. We're back on the Rise Up here at Podcast, Mr. Cardinals Talk on the Web. Still talking training camp preview for the Arizona Cardinals. And what we're going to talk about now is the other side of things. We talk about what we're excited about, but what are we concerned about? What are the questions that face this team? And for me, number one is, will the defense stay healthy? Because, you know, I think the offense can kind of, assuming, look, you know, Kyler aside, Kyler's got to stay healthy. Connor's got to stay healthy most of the year. But the way their depth disappeared on the defensive line, they had very little depth talent to begin with last year, and just have it decimated week after week after week after week, it felt like. Can the defense specifically weather the injuries that will most certainly come at some point?
Yeah, and that's an obvious thing. And one of the biggest things you always recognize in you know, bad teams, and something we've talked about before, but it's not necessarily that the starters are bad, right? I mean, there definitely are instances of that, but it's usually not that the starters themselves are bad. It's that there's just such a lack of talent around them that if anything goes down or they miss or anything of that nature, that you go, oh, this is a wildly bad team. And to your point, I mean, you look at it just, I mean, last year, the starters on defense for the Arizona Cardinals, Jonathan Ledbetter, LJ Collier, Leki Fotu, Victor
Dimmicky, Carlos Watkins, even though he wasn't a starter.
Yeah, Victor Dimmicky, Zaven Collins, Kaiser White, Josh Woods, Marco Wilson, Keytrell Clark, Buda Baker, and Jalen Thompson. I think the only three that were starting by the end of the season were Zaven Collins, Buda Baker, and Jalen Thompson. Like, that's not a recipe for success. Even if you're like, oh, but, you know, these guys were bad. You're like, yeah, they were bad, but they're still much leaps and bounds better than the guys that, especially, I mean, and we're not trying to be rude, but the guys that they brought in off the street along the defensive line, right? Like, those guys. Right, like,
again, Eric Banks, Ben Stilley, Naquan Jones, some of the other guys that I'm drawing a blank right now. I mean, those are guys that, you know, you might want. Like, if you have one of those guys on your team, you're okay. But they had, like, four. They had four of those guys.
Well, think about this starting lineup to end the season, Jess. Phil Hoskins.
That's the other guy, Phil Hoskins.
Roy Lopez, who might make this
Roy Lopez is an adequate NFL defensive lineman.
But, I mean, he's a guy that you're talking like rotational 12 to 15 snaps a game type of guy. Like, you're not wanting Roy Lopez to play, 30 snaps a game. That's just not what he does. Naquan Jones, you mentioned. Dennis Gardeck, who we said all along, we love Gardeck. Amazing special teams guy, but if he's the guy that's playing that many snaps, it's not good for the defense, right? Because that's just not his strength. Chris Barnes, obviously Zaven, as we mentioned. Antonio Hamilton, Starling Thomas, both guys that weren't starters at the beginning of the year. Hamilton because of injuries, obviously, but Thomas was not even on the roster. Andre Chachere, and then Baker and Thompson. Like, those were the starters the last week. It's crazy to think that this team had eight different starters in game 17 versus game one. And again, the names alone tell the story. And so, yeah, that's got to be important. The other big concern is, how does Paris Johnson hold up at left tackle? I almost put that as what I'm excited about, because I am excited about it. I'm excited to see how Paris handles the left side. That's what he was drafted to do. That's what you spend top 10 picks on offensive linemen to do, even though in this day and age, having, unbelievable talent at the right tackle position is just as important. It's hard. It's hard to not do that. But, this, we want to see that this guy is the real deal. And year one was promising, and now you're looking at year two and you're saying, how does this go? Is this the right move for the long term and his growth and everything like that? Or is this a situation where it could be an issue? And so I guess for me it is a combination of excited / nervous, right? That let's see what Paris does after a good first season of playing that right tackle position, because that's a bold move for a team that only won four games to be like, oh no, we're gonna take a guy that was our right tackle and we're gonna move him to left tackle and see how he does.
Any other concerns?
I think you hit the one big one on the head, obviously, and that's health, right? Like, get out of camp healthy. That's the big thing. I mean, that's all we care about at this point. Like, we want to see some great things. We want to see this team continue to improve, but get out of camp healthy, please, so we can at least see the product on the field this year and see how they do.
Yeah. Absolutely. Obviously, there's also like it's not necessarily a concern, but it's a big question is, what in the world is kickoff going to look like? That's for across the entire NFL. What will kickoffs look like? How will they run that? And ultimately, will there be teams that just eat the extra 5 yards and go with touchbacks to go into the 30 and just give up the extra 5 yards? I'm really, really intrigued by that rule, because I think it's a really fun, exciting new rule. I'm super excited for that rule.
Yeah, it should be fun, man. It should be fun to see and see how things play out with that. But at the end of the day, this is a team, or this is a league, that has tried very little in innovation from a league-wide thing, obviously, to enforce it. Obviously, the coaches and those type of innovation have been part of the NFL forever, but to see the league try to implement something right, to be innovative and change things, we haven't seen that. And so we'll see how that goes, because the concern becomes that if it doesn't work, all of a sudden they're going to be like, oh, well, we're not going to try anything innovative again, right? Like, this we're gonna stay with the product that keeps making us billions of dollars every year.
Yeah. Coming up next on the Rise Up Series podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. Let's move to the final spot. We're going to talk about individual players. We've talked some already, but who are the players that we're watching specifically, and who else? Who do we think will stand out? Because always, every single year, there are standouts. Coming up next on Rise Up Series. We're back on the Rise Up Series podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. Looking ahead, the players we're watching specifically, and who are kind of our projections? Who are going to be the standout guys? Every year, guys who are kind of back of the roster guys seem to, you know, catch our eyes. They get all the love, whether they're late round picks or undrafted guys, unproven guys. There's this. Think of the Steven Andersons and the, you know, I can't even think of some of those guys, or the pass rushers, Vontarius Dora, Pete Roberts, those guys that just, they light things up in the preseason and training camp, and you never hear from them again, or the quarterback. Who's the quarterback a few years ago, that undrafted rookie guy?
Oh, I can't remember his name right now off the top of my head. I'm looking back.
Oh, that was
but yeah, days. But yeah, I mean that's how that always works, right? And you look at it this year, you know, coming into camp, there's a number of camp stars that we could see. The guy that is really intriguing to me that's going to be depth, right? He's a toss up to even make the roster. Is Xavier Weaver, the wide receiver out of Colorado?
Yeah,
I think Weaver is an interesting case because I think he's going to be a guy that shows out pretty well. He's a talented receiver. He had a good season at Colorado. I believe he was at UCF before that, right?
Yes, I think so.
And had really productive seasons there. Oh, South Florida. Sorry, I apologize. You know, had 2 700-plus-yard seasons there. Went over to Colorado, put up over 900 yards. Like, he's a good, solid wide receiver that's just very jaggy in terms of size and speed. 6'1", 170, you know, 4'5 guy. And so we'll see how he works out. But I think he's the guy, if you want to talk about kind of end of roster type of guys that people will fall in love with. I think that could be the one this year, but I also think he does have a decent shot to make the
you know, if they keep six receivers on the roster, there's a really good chance that whether it's him, whether it's Tajon Palmer, whether I don't know that, but if they keep six receiver, that six receiver honestly could be basically anyone. We know that five are a more or less a lock, right?
Right. So there's five locks, unless something's just wrong with Zay Jones physically, right?
Like, yeah.
Unless that he just can't play anymore. But, I mean, he was out at the Kyler training camp situation, so you would have to imagine that if he's out working that hard already, that he's healthy for the most part.
Yeah, those guys that workout that they had, doesn't that kind of look like those are probably their likely core guys?
Yeah, right? I mean Chris Moore was there, right? Or what was his name?
Yeah, Chris Moore's there. They had Elijah Higgins, Trey Benson. Notably, like for me, if you look like the guys that I was like, oh, they weren't there. Amari DiMercato, Michael Carter. They weren't there. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah. It was Connor and Benson. And, you know, I can't imagine that unless Kyler is like by invitation only, or it was a case of, hey, they just had something. But it was interesting at this point. It's like, oh, who wasn't there? You kind of like what everyone does with Kyler. I'm like, oh, but who were the players who weren't there? One of the players, honestly, I am watching is Zay Jones specifically. I mean, Marv. So, yes, they're top rookies. Absolutely. Marvin Harrison, eyes on him. Darius Robinson, eyes on him. Max Melton, honestly, eyes on him. But, you know, for a different reason, because I think everyone's eyes are already going to be on on Marv and Michael Wilson and Greg Dortch in particular. Zay Jones, he's the, like we've said before, he is the most NFL accomplished receiver on this roster. And what can he do? It was last year a one-off with the injuries, or does he...
Is he cooked? Yeah.
Right. Or does he show up and find himself a role? Because like if he's on, like he's a guy who could be, I mean, he could push Greg Dortch into what, receiver four? He could push Michael Wilson to a wide receiver four position, because Zay can play inside and out. He's capable of doing both things. Honestly, one of the players I think is simply just going to ball out in training camp. It's going to be Greg Dortch, because he does every year. And so I think he will continue to, I think he will continue to get buzz, and we'll have to wait and see what his actual production is. I'm as much as the people are excited about Greg Dortch, and Kyler Murray is all in on Greg Dortch, I still am I'm pump the brakes on his actual production. When you've got Trey McBride, you've got Marvin Harrison, you've got Michael Wilson on the perimeter, you've got, you've got the running game that they've got. I'm like, how much is Dortch going to actually get? So, yeah, so I think Dortch will light it up, because he always does. I'm watching Zay Jones in particular. I also have my eye on Desmond Ridder. Obviously Kyler, but does Ridder look comfortable and capable in this offense with this team?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge question, because like you said, Kyler's been nicked up in almost every season. And now it's almost a given that you're going to get at least a start from a backup at some point during the season. So, how does that work out? And is Ridder the guy, or did they waste
did they waste Rondell Moore? No, they didn't waste it at all. That didn't work because, Rondell might have been cut anyway. So,
right. So you take a flyer on Ridder, but, we'll see how it works out. But, yeah, I think he's an intriguing one. From there, we mentioned the cornerbacks. But I'm really interested in Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, Rabbit. Where does he fit into all of this? Because he's a really intriguing fourth round rookie, kind of borderline a steal, right? They've got obviously Jalen and Buddha, but is Andre Chachere the guy as the number three safety, or are they going to give Rabbit the chance with the fact that they do like to play a lot of three safeties? He is a better fit for what they want to do. Obviously he's young and expecting a fourth round pick, even if we do agree that he was, he should have been drafted sooner, to come in and be immediately a guy. It'll be interesting to see, but I really like what he brings, his athleticism, his ball skills. And if he's a guy, that can get run it, and how far into the season we have to get to get to that point.
Right. It'd be interesting in terms of battles. Like, I feel like he's either going to push, like he's either going to take Andre Sacheray's role as third safety, or he's going to take Joey Blunt's role as, big time special teams player. And that'll kind of determine which guy he is, and how the roster is built. I think it would be fair to say that we're going to have our eyes on both Zaven Collins and B.J. Ojulari. Ojulari, we hope, looks like a polished pass rusher this year, productive guy. And Zaven, I think what we're looking for is, can he add any consistency in the pass game in terms of pass rush? And that starts with the Cardinals tackles, right? It starts with those tackles. How do they look against those guys one-on-one? So they're looking at, how do they look against Jonah Williams? How do they look against Paris Johnson? And so that might not be necessarily a good, right, indicator, because we're hoping that the tackle play is good. But at the same time, we need to see, we want and need them to produce something, to be pressurers at least, so that at least analytically, if not statistically, be impactful.
Yeah, and they desperately need pass rushing talent, right? And so it's going to be wide open for both Collins and Ojulari, but not to mention, you know, a guy like Xavier Thomas, who was taken in the fifth round. What happens with Cam Thomas? Does he even make the roster coming out of camp? Can he transition back to an outside linebacker, or was he just miscast from day one and kind of fell prey to those situations? That's such an intriguing group that you could spend the entire camp just focusing on those guys, right? Because there's just so many questions and uncertainty. My last guy that I want to mention is Isaiah Adams. Adams, you know, one of their third round picks this year. I think he's a year away from starting. I truly do.
Right.
And I think that they want Evan Brown to be the guy at left guard. All that being said, there's nothing better in the world than your rookie offensive lineman forcing his way into the lineup. And if Isaiah Adams can look competent enough and put, like, legitimately put the pressure on Evan Brown to the point where we're going, well, I don't know, maybe it's just smarter to start Isaiah Adams, right? Like,
right.
Maybe that's the play. That's a good thing. I'm not expecting him to start. I don't, like I said, I think he's going to be a year away. Remember, this is a guy that was a left guard, tremendous prospect, then went to right tackle, terrible prospect. but also, you know, a willing and selfless teammate.
Yes.
That sacrificed his own potential draft position to do what was best for the team at the time in Illinois. And a guy that is just beloved by his teammates and his coaches. And so, you know, he kind of exudes and exemplifies what the Cardinals want from their offensive linemen. So I'm intrigued to see how far away he truly is from pushing Evan Brown.
Another guy, another rookie that I'm actually intrigued. I don't know if I'm excited to watch, but I'm going to have my eye on him because of his profile from the draft. And that's fifth round pick tackle Christian Jones, because as we talked about after the draft, there are some athletic markers that look really good. And then there's that one where it's the over 8 second three cone where you're like, that's a red flag. Will that impact him? So I'm intrigued to see which version or which thing. So you've got the above average athleticism, the actually good athleticism on some things, but that one mark, which is, you know, your change of direction, which is important as a lineman, does that cause problems? Because if he can overcome that, there is an outside chance. I don't think there's much of a chance, but an outside chance that perhaps he can push Kelvin Beachum for that role. I don't think it'll happen because Beachum is so, you know, respected and reliable. But for roster building purposes, I know Christian Jones is a guy that people love as a steal, and I'm like, yes, maybe, because we've heard, like, Dorian Johnson was one of those cases where, like, oh, plug and play. I don't know. So I will have my eye on him, particularly when we get to preseason action, because he will get a lot of preseason action. How does he look there on an island?
Yeah, he's going to have to prove a lot against a lot of really, really talented, younger guys that we mentioned. You know, these guys that come in and have to earn spots as camp bodies, as guys that are depth for teams, you know, like the Saints, like the Colts, like the Broncos, What do they look like, and how do they, how does he stand up and stack up against those guys? I mean, you look at the Saints edge rushers and guys like Isaiah Foskey, who was a second round pick last year, a guy like Christian Boyd, who we talked about here, right? There's guys like, what's the kid's name? Peyton Turner, who's been around a while, that's, you know, trying to stay in the league. And so he's going to have to, you know, get reps and get chances against those guys, you know, and so it's not just day to day against, you know, like we mentioned Xavier Thomas and those guys, but it's going to be against guys like Latu, the guy from the UCLA. That Indy drafted, right? Like, there's a chance that he'll have to face him in week two, right? And Jernard Avery, a guy that has looked really good in the past as a guy that stuck around the NFL for a while, like, he's going to get his chances to show that he can play, or we're going to be like, oh my, that 8 second three cone is just, it's too accurate, and you can't overcome it.
And anybody else in particular that you're watching that you, or that you think will stand out? I have a, in terms of standout, I have a sneaky feeling that we're going to see a really good Ketrell Clark in camp in the preseason, because he was really good last year, because he's fiery, he's feisty, he plays like that. A guy that, like, I have my eye on as well, my last one, Star Thomas. I don't, like, it doesn't look like there's a spot on the roster for him.
But he played really, really well last year.
He played a lot, and he's really endeared himself to coaches with the way he's worked this offseason. He's always in the building. He's always working in. And he has been getting looks with the first teams. I think he's going to be one of the harder guys to move off the roster. You might have to because of the young guys that you've drafted, but I think he's going to be a guy to watch for year two, because that cornerback room, the decision is going to be really tough.
Yeah, it is. And you feel, I mean, we talked about the other day, you feel like there's four locks, right? But how many are they going to keep as well? Like, is it only five? So that's where that intrigue really comes in.
Right. And so you're looking at, if it's only five, then it's either Ketrell or Star Thomas. And then what about Bobby Price as a special teams guy? You've got Darren Hall, who's actually played NFL games before. And right. So it's going to be super interesting. And with that, we'll have much more to talk about next week, when we've actually seen some practice. So that'll wrap up this edition of the Rise of Syria podcast, Mr. F. Cardinals Talk on the Web, talking training camp preview. I will have another show later this week. Show number two will be focused on, it's an interview with Aaron Schatz from FTN, who does the football almanac each year. So I'll have that podcast up later this week. Next week, Seth and I will be back, and we will be hearing, I believe, once training camp starts, I will start having Howard Balzer, one of my reporter for the site. He will start during training camp in the regular season, give us his input. And so what he talks about, he'll put together some audio about observations and opinions of what he's seeing in camp and in practice, what people are doing, what people are saying, and that will be part of the podcast feed as well. Again, thanks for listening. It's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is the Rise of Syria podcast. Best our Cardinals talk on the web. We'll be back again very soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.
Roll!